I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the Grover Beach City Council for Monday, August 15, 2011. Would you all please rise with us and have a moment of silence for those who tragically lost their lives in the accident? Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem, will you lead us in the pledge of allegiance?
Yes, if you'd join me, place your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Roll call.
Here.
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 Here. Here. Thank you, Donna. We have no closed session announcement this evening, and we're going to move on to our agenda review. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda or proceed as presented by staff?
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. We have no ceremonial calendar items this evening, which brings us to public communications. And this is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item within the interest or the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot act on the items that are not on this agenda. So are there any members of the public that would like to address the council during public communication this evening? Please come forward and state your name and city of residence for the record.
Greetings, Mayor Scholes and Council. My name is Jennifer Joswick, and I appreciate you giving me time today to address you. I am the education coordinator for the San Luis Obispo Surf Rider chapter. I'm here to speak to you today about ocean water quality and our future. Last week, I gave a presentation to 50 K through 6 children.
We've heard those words before, no ocean outfall. Thanks, Jen. When we first started speaking back here, we started to talk about this really, really cool thing where we wouldn't have to put ocean effluent water in our ocean and pollute it, as is happening right now with our inadequate sewage treatment plant. Of course, where we really need to go here, if you as the elected representatives of Grover Beach and, of course, the same city council in Aurora Grande representing those constituents, that constituency, and, of course, OCSD as a part of the county but still representing that constituency, if you polled your residents and your folks here in Grover Beach and asked them if they would really like that the effluent that was going out, that outfall, that it really was meeting standards all the time, if they would like that, they would certainly answer yes. And if you ask them if we could not even put sewage effluent in the ocean and we could pond it someplace and recharge our aquifers with it and we could somehow get more water out of that whole process by banking it and having it seep through the layers of earth that purify water, which is what our watershed does. Water flows downhill, it ponds, recharges our aquifers, we pull it back up through wells. That's really what we do with water. We don't throw it back in the ocean after we've used it once and flushed it down toilets and through sinks and taken showers in it. We need to start doing the smart thing with water. And I want to encourage all of you up here and all of you people sitting here representing our constituents. I don't live in Grover Beach. I live in Oceano. But we all need to band together and work together because our water future doesn't look great at this very moment. State water is, I won't say drying up. That's not really the right word. There's just not enough of it for everybody. We see the newspaper articles, their front page headlines, where Pismo wants to build up in the heights up there, and they want to put more homes up in there. The only way to do that is if there's more water. Pismo should be on board also. I don't mind if there's more development up there, if there's water to support it, because one of the easy ways for them to get more water to support that is to take their effluent and stop piping it down to Oceano to put out the outfall, and for us to pipe everything backwards and have it go up Price Canyon and pond it up there, stop the ocean outfall, should create a huge ponding park, which Dave Watson tells me there's already room up there in that land to put a ponding operation up there, and all of a sudden there's plenty of acre feet for everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good evening, Council. My name is Brad Snook. I'm the volunteer coordinator for our county's chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. How can we afford to flush water away? Our sanitation district broke the law again last month, violating the discharge permit requirements it has with the California State Regional Water Quality Board. With the district's wastewater treatment, when the wastewater treatment plant broke the law, it put beachgoers and the environment at risk, and it failed to do what ratepayers require of it, simply to meet water quality standards and keep us safe from swimming in sewage. It is unclear whether Grover Beach's representative to the sanitation district takes his role in safeguarding public health seriously. We have heard him inadequately state relevant information regarding sanitation district performance. To continue saying the plant administrator has done a great job and they haven't had a violation in 25 years is nonsense. Even before the whistleblowers called attention to many inadequacies and ongoing illegal activities at the plant, there was an 180,000-gallon spill in January of 2010. This council should decide whether this type of selective memory by committee members meets their expectations. Facts are important. It is also unclear whether Grover Beach's representative of the sanitation district will continue to shelter the Wallace Group, despite its continued underperformance, and because others can provide no proof of a conflict of interest. We have seen many city council members recuse themselves because of potential conflicts. Is the Wallace Group's multiple roles at our wastewater treatment plant any less important than whether someone can build a two-story house within 500 feet of his house? Using the same standards that our wastewater...
My name is Guy King, Newport Avenue, Grover Beach. I want to talk about two things. The first is smart meters. They're being installed in Grover Beach right now. It's not too late for some of you to opt out. You can call 1-877-743-7378. There are many reasons to opt out. First, they're not accurate. City of Bakersfield is suing PG&E. Second, if you go on the internet, you'll see thousands of people got ill since they've had them installed. Third, privacy. The Bill of Rights says no American should be subject to surveillance without a court order. The utility company is collecting private information and profiling people, and they're selling that information. Also, just recently there have been several fires on houses that have had smart meters installed. When the council considered this, the mayor excused himself, as he has to legally, as he works for PG&E. But Billy Nichols, the mayor pro tem, the mayor's yes man, tried to stifle information. That was you, Billy.
Direct your comments at the board.
Second thing I want to talk about is, as I understand it, city council members and the mayor can only serve two terms in office. There's a rumor they want to change that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't think it's a good idea. If people served here long enough, they should move up the political ladder. Right, Billy?
Oh, shit. Guy.
Okay. In conclusion, the reason this bothers me and most of the people I've talked to is that we were all hopeful in 2012 we'd get rid of the mayor, we'd have a new mayor, somebody who cares about the city. That's it.
Is there anyone else? Okay, I'm going to close public communications. We'll bring it back and let's move on with our agenda. Let's go to our first public hearing this evening. This is item number one. And this is a rate adjustment request from the South County Sanitation Service. Chief Compsey, who's given this report this evening.
Thank you, Mayor.
David Chapman, the finance director, is going to give this report.
Great, thank you.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, Gayla Chapman, Administrative Services Director. Tonight we have a request from South County Sanitation Services for a rate increase for solid waste collection and disposal services. Mr. Bill Statler, former finance director for the City of San Luis Obispo, was retained by our city, along with Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano Community Services District, to conduct an independent review of the rate request. Mr. Statler's report was attached to your staff report. A 5.15% increase is requested by South County Sanitary Services. Based on Mr. Statler's review, the rate adjustment requested is supported. Staff is recommending that the council conduct a public hearing and then adopt the resolution approving the requested adjustment in rates.
Thank you, Ms. Chapman. Any questions of staff?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Councilmember Monar.
Can you explain what the franchise fee is? I know it's 10%, but basically what is it?
Mr. Kazanowicz.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members, Councilmember Molnar. Franchise fee is a fee that the concern, in this case, the sanitary service pays to the city for the privilege of using the right-of-ways for their business.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarification.
Okay, Councilmember Peterson.
I noticed, and I don't know if you know the answer to this one, but I noticed that Pismo Beach has a different rate schedule than Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, and I wondered if you could explain how that works and why it's different.
Pismo Beach set up a 6% franchise fee, where the other cities set up a 10%. It's strictly based on the cities.
Just 1 sec.
It's the city's, at the city's discretion when they're making the contract with South County Sanitary.
Okay. Hang on a second. I know Tom will have some comments. Any questions to my right?
No.
Okay.
Actually, I do have one other question.
Okay, Councilmember Monar.
I think this is something Gayla can answer, perhaps, when the gentleman comes up.
Absolutely.
He'll get to answer this.
So why don't I open this up to the public, and please come forward, state your name and city residence for the record.
I'm Martin. I'm the controller for South County Sanitary, and I actually live in the Pomo. I believe what you're asking is why the city of Pismo Beach has a 100% variable structure and Grover Beach does not.
Yeah, I'm just curious about how it's evolved that there are different plans for different cities.
When we went to variable can curb, each of the councils had the opportunity to decide how they wanted to structure their thing. You could do it in the city of Pismo, like the city of Pismo Beach did, where one can is 13, two cans is 26, three cans is three times that rate. If you have a two-member household, it's really easy to get down to one can. At the time, the Grover Beach City Council felt that there were probably more families in Grover Beach, and so that they didn't want it to be 100% variable, that they wanted it to be a difference. But at the time, I believe that there was a $5 difference between...
Of the fact that we have to truck our green waste to Santa Maria, and so we're having to pay extra. Is the anaerobic digester still a possibility?
Yeah, we're still working with Bill Worrell on the IWMA. He took a visit to Europe with one of the chief engineers from Waste Connections, our parent company, and they looked at it, and they've come back with a report, and we're still pursuing that avenue.
Okay.
Given the city, the county of San Luis Obispo's planning department, though, I would caution you that we're probably 2.5 to 3 years away from actually getting the permit to start.
Okay. Let's say it does and it's built, then this cost then will go away.
Well, what in the preliminary look at this thing, they're talking about an $88 a ton tipping fee to make the anaerobic digestion system fly. If it's $88 a ton, that means that instead of the $30 a ton, you'll be paying $88 a ton. So we're talking probably about another $1.60, $1.70 to the consumer to make that state-of-the-art thing fly.
Okay. Explain tipping fee.
That's what it costs us when we take a load of green waste in to Engelen Gray. They charge us $30 a ton. If we build an anaerobic digestion system at Cold Canyon Landfill, they will charge us $88 a ton to drop a load of green waste from our trucks.
Well, that's just to drop it, the tipping then, isn't
it? Yeah, well, and that covers the cost of processing and, you know, all the things that go along with it.
Okay, thank you.
Any more? Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Martin?
The only thing I'd like to point out is in the staff report, it says 64-gallon can. It goes from 1803 to 1806. I believe that's a typo.
Okay.
I believe if you look in Mr. Statler's report, that's a different number. And I'm sorry, I'm coming back from vacation. I do not have my file. Mm-hmm.
Six.
Mine says 1890. Mine says goes from 1803 to 1890.
Yes, that.
That's correct.
It's just a typo that in the final processing. That 1806 should be 1890.
That's what it is. Well,
that's what it is on our report.
Ooh, it's not in the public hearing section of this one.
Oh.
So it's a document that I have.
Okay.
There's a typo here, but not in the stuff you're looking at.
Okay.
So basically then, let's say for an average family, what's for a small, you know, black can or whatever the trash can is called, and a green and a blue, what's it going to cost?
Well, if you're talking about a one-can customer, it's going to go from $13.33 to $14.02, which is 69 cents a month.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I know
okay.
I have a question.
Councilmember Wright.
I'm sorry.
No.
Can you explain the one-can, two-can, three-can? Are we talking one can of one garbage can?
Everything is based on the size garbage can you select. The system... Mm-hmm. We hope what you have is a 32-gallon gray, which is the garbage can, and that you have a 96 green and a 96 blue. Fill up the green and the blue every week, put them out all the time, and have the smallest garbage can.
So that would be, would that be one-can service or three-can service?
That would be one-can service. If you have, every household in the city has three cans.
I see.
But your rate is based on the size of your garbage can.
Either
32, 64, or 96 gallons.
Gotcha. Thank you very much.
Okay. I think that's all the questions we've got. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to address the item before the council this evening? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close and bring it back to the council. If there's no additional discussion, is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
Yeah, I'll recommend that we adopt the resolution amending the master fee resolution authorizing South County Sanitary Service to institute the rate increase as requested.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, let's move on to our consent agenda. This is an agenda where we typically will take routine items as a group, and we actually only have one item tonight on our consent agenda, and this is the Treasury Report for the period of July 28th through August 10th, 2011. Do any members want to pull the item off of the agenda? If not, I'll accept a motion on this item.
I'll move that we approve as submitted.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. No additional discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. So let's move on to regular business tonight. This is item number 3. This is confirmation of a project scope and authorization to proceed with the bidding process for West Grand Avenue Project, Phase 2. And I believe the staff report is going to be given by Public Works Director and City Engineer Ray.
Indeed it is. Thank you, Mayor Scholes and City Council. I'm going to put an item on the overhead here for use during my report. If you look on the overhead, you'll see that there's an existing median between 9th and 10th Streets. That median would just be re-landscaped. And then the construction of two new medians would include the median from 8th to 9th and from 10th to 11th here. The project is expected to be out to bid by early September. An award of the construction contract is expected to be made in mid-October. There are $300,000 of RSHA funds, that's Regional State Highway Account funds, grant funds essentially, available through SLOCOG for this project. The estimated cost to construct everything identified just a moment ago is approximately $500,000, and the estimated cost to complete just the three medians is about $280,000. Obviously, the $500,000 is a little more than the $300,000 RSHA funds, but we don't have the bids in hand yet. So depending on the outcome of the bids, we'll be coming back to City Council with a recommendation for a project award. One option would be to use funds remaining in the street rehabilitation fund. There's approximately $110,000 available in that fund that could be allocated to this project if need be. And possibly by the time we get toward bid award, there may be other options for funding. So, the proposed construction schedule, as stated, would begin in October, obviously would extend into the holiday season. In order to reduce impacts to nearby businesses, your staff is proposing to halt construction just after or just prior to the Thanksgiving holiday and then begin construction again after January 1st. We do believe it's possible the medians could be constructed and possibly even landscaped prior to November. So, again, we'll work with the contractor to expedite his schedule and get as much done prior to the Thanksgiving holiday. Staff has identified the following alternatives for council consideration. First, you could confirm the project scope and authorize staff to proceed with the bidding process. We could modify the scope and authorize staff to proceed with the bidding process, or you could provide alternate direction to staff. And our recommendation this evening is that council confirm the scope and authorize staff to proceed with the bidding process. And that concludes my report, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Greg. Any questions of staff?
Yes.
Councilmember Mona.
Okay. We talked about phase two. Is that separate from the median, or is it included in phase two?
Phase two would include basically construction of all three medians that you see above between 8th and 11th, and the overlay landscaping in the existing median there, and then if the bid allows, possibly some minor sidewalk repairs in that area.
Okay, because you have 500,000, and then just the medians itself is maybe 280.
Yeah.
So the 280 is part of the 500.
That's correct.
Okay, and we have available 300. I noticed here you talked about we have an allocation of 583,000 from the State Transportation Improvement Program, but will not be available until next year.
No. The money, in order to access the STIP-TE funds, which have already been allocated in the Regional Transportation Improvement Program, we need to go through a process with Caltrans Local Assistance. That process could take in range between 2 to 4 months. And so even if we were to enter that process right now, we'd probably be closer to spring before we could actually put that money on the street. So.
Okay, so you're just saying this is additional money in the future that may be available.
For future phases of West Grand Avenue enhancement.
That we would not be using now, okay. Why is it that we are going to be redoing the landscaping and the existing median?
The West Grand Avenue master plan and the previous enhancement project that was done between 2nd and 4th Street has a different style of landscaping, and so the direction has changed somewhat. Palm trees in the center medians appear to be more appropriate. The lighting, as you see, between 2nd and 4th, and the more drought-tolerant type planting that fits more of a coastal environment. So the idea is to bring some cohesion between those two projects, the one that was completed last year and this downtown project through the landscaping.
And what about the landscaping that's already on the streets, on the street side? And I'm not talking about the center median. I'm talking now on the sidewalk and next to the
street.
There's
not really much there. There's really only about five existing street trees in that area. And we did go and look at those. A couple of those existing street trees have not done very well. They're severely stunted. There's maybe two of the five that look okay. We're not proposing, actually, to take those out and replace them with this particular project. But in the future, the overall concept is to come back, and I believe the street tree for that downtown area is
that they will. The cement will continue all the way down to the cross street with left turns?
Yes.
Okay. Has there been any thought about whether or not there's going to be restricting anybody's driveways, any businesses' driveways along there?
Yes.
And how is that being addressed?
It will. In fact, that was actually the concept. In considering overall the West Grand Avenue concept plan process that began long before my time here, a conscious decision was made, and I believe that decision was vetted in a community forum. And the mayor, I believe, was around at that time, and others who have been here could probably talk more to that process. But a conscious decision was made that limiting those left turns across West Grand Avenue was somewhat beneficial from a traffic calming perspective, as well as to provide that complete street atmosphere with the solid center medians and landscaping. So.
Okay, well, then that leads into my final question, which is, we had at one time, there had been discussion of road diet, which turned out to be not very favorable. And then there was brought up the issue of perhaps reducing the speed along Grand. Is that being considered as part of this project, from going down to 25? No. I'd like to make comment that recently on my vacation, on my travels, nearly every downtown that did a restructuring to bring business back in all reduced their speed limits down to 25 with benefit. So I was just wondering if that's still being taken into consideration.
The current project scope does not consider that. However, council does have that opportunity to add additional direction to the project scope this evening. So.
All right. Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions? Councilmember Bright.
Thank you. So when you say regarding the STIP funds, that these funds could be available for use in the spring of 2012, you're talking about the actual process of getting those funds, the availability of those funds to us.
Yeah, we're working with local assistance, even though the funds are programmed through SLOCOG, they're actually administered by the Caltrans local assistance, and there's a process called the PS&E process. That's plan, specifications, and estimates. We have to fill out a pretty good pile of paperwork and then get approval on each little piece of paper in that. It's a several month process.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear about that, because I was concerned when you said could be available, meaning that maybe we wouldn't get them. But it's just a matter of actually going through the process to get those funds.
Yeah, the funds are already dedicated for our use.
Okay, excellent.
In West Grand.
Thank you. I think that was it. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem. Okay. Good, and I'm glad that Councilmember Bright asked that question, because the SLOCOG board did, in fact, approve $583,000 in this fiscal year, but it's a matter of just going through the Caltrans process, and that's what he's talking about. It takes 2 to 4 years. The $300,000, and that money is restricted, so we can only use it on these type of enhancements rather than on paving, unfortunately. The $300,000 is a little different. I think that money was approved by SLOCOG board, with the caveat that it had to be spent in the fiscal year. Was it calendar year, Greg?
Those funds had to be expended in this calendar year, but they must be used. They're basically backfill funds for what's considered to be a shortfall in STIP TE funds. So again, we can't really use them just randomly throughout the city.
Gotcha. So then, obviously, a neat project would be to say we're going to defer everything to spring and have $883,000 available, but we've got to expend $300,000 this calendar year. Okay. And then I did want to clarify, the reason you're saying phase two is phase one was, in fact, West Grand Avenue between 2nd and 4th, correct?
Yeah.
I want to make sure everybody that are not familiar with their project understands that. And then, so I just make sure that what's before us today is your recommendation is to move forward with, let's say, phase two of the downtown segment, to install landscape medians. And I noticed you called out some paving, but not for the entire section, correct?
It would be between 8th and 11th. We would do limited grind and overlay, some spot repairs. Limited grind and spot repairs, and then ultimately an overlay between 8th and 11th.
Okay. But if the council wanted to do more paving, there may be funds coming available from Long Branch. Is that what I understand in your staff report?
We think we might see a little bit of money return from the Long Branch project. It's so far we haven't really had any significant change orders there, and we're slightly overfunded on that project. So
okay.
Not quite done, but we think it's looking favorable.
Okay. And so to utilize the $583,000 with the project in the spring, you'd be recommending that we move forward with
go from 2nd to 4th, and now we jump up to 8th Street.
Well, again, that decision was a little before my time, but as I understand my direction, there was in the community forum and with local business people when priorities were being made for community improvement. The first priority was the visitor serving area and the associated income enhancements that the city expected to receive from that. And then the second priority was this downtown area between 8th and 11th. So
okay, well,
we're trying to capture the top priorities.
Okay, well, I think part of it is also because we haven't replaced the storm drain.
Which one's down the
road? And that has to be done before we redo the street and then have to tear it up and put storm drain in. So I think that is part of the reason.
If we had enough money to do the whole project, certainly we'd want to get the storm drain in as part
right.
of or prior to the whole project. So
right.
you know, we are hopscotching a little bit, acknowledging that we're really moving ahead of the area, you know, to the edge of the area where we need the storm drain.
Okay, and the other thing I want to make clear is that the $300,000 that we're using, which is regional state highway account, that money has to be used for this particular project or for a project involving a major street. We cannot use that money in the residential streets to redo them. Is that correct?
It is a backfill for a STIP TE program.
Okay, I'm not sure people understand the backfill.
Yeah,
when you say it's a backfill, I'm trying to get the people at home to understand what we're doing.
Right. So originally we had an estimate that we took, that the city prior to me took to the SLOCOG board and said, you know, we need about $2 million to do in grant funds to do the entire corridor from basically the beach to Oak Park. And unfortunately, though, there just aren't that many grant funds available. So they said, well, we can get you about $550,000, $580,000. We know you need quite a bit more. We have this RSHA money available. We'll throw that in there, too. But it must be used on that programmed project, which is West Grand from 2nd to Oak Park.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Peterson.
I had comments. Is it comment time?
This is a business item, but I'm going to open this up and see if there's anyone in the public that would like to address this item before the council. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close it and bring it back. And so, Councilman Peterson.
Okay, I wanted to thank you for doing such a good job of paying attention to when Christmas comes and how the whole project may affect our retailers. I think we're making some good movement in the right direction with that, and I know you were very sensitive to the Long Branch project, to trying to have as much completed as possible before school started, and I think you were very successful with that.
School starts Thursday, and it is completely paved.
Good.
So it's great news. It's looking good down there. We've got some minor cleanups and a couple days left to get them done. So so right now it's looking really good.
One day.
So, yeah, Thursday. School starts Thursday, I think. So anyway, I really appreciate that, and I think that you've done a great job on that. And I'm noticing that although there are still some new vacant buildings coming down there on West Grand, there's a lot of positive enthusiasm, and the buildings that have been vacant for quite a while are filling up more quickly, and we're getting some kind of exciting businesses going in. So I think that we're on the right track here, and we're achieving what we'd hope to achieve with it. And I wanted to also, I did have an email from a member of the public who had a suggestion, and I did a little driving around, and I think it's worth consideration, that the 10th, 11th Rockway area, which is where Miners Hardware have been doing business for over 50 years, is looking pretty bad, and it's I think, in the same area and the same plan, so I think we maybe ought to give that some consideration. But I know there are many priorities and many thoughts. So if there's a little extra money coming up, I think we should give that some thought.
Okay. I'll note that, and then we'll see where the council is. Mm-hmm. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So, Phyllis?
Yes, please. I actually have a question about Long Branch. Between, I guess it's 13th and 14th there. It still was coned off today.
I noticed, though, that the paving, the new paving only went so far. There was that entire section about the width of the car on either side that was not. Why didn't we pave all the way to the curb? Because doesn't that create a weak point there in which you could have continuing damage to the street? And there's a lot of weeds still on those sides of each of what we've done. It almost seems like.
Maintain that with chip seals, slurry seals in that area without doing a full replacement. The savings per block is in the neighborhood of $20,000 per block. So it's a significant savings.
So this is this going to be a trend for other streets then, that you're just going to pave the center part and then we're not going to do anything next to the curbs? Because there's an awful lot of streets that have damage right next to the curbs, and which will just continue to erode into what might newly have been done.
Yeah, and I think there's sort of two answers to that. One is that if council, in looking at that and in hearing comments about that, thinks that's a good way to handle future streets, certainly staff would be looking for that direction. But we also have to look at that on a case-to-case basis. It just, there's some areas where that just may not be appropriate.
Okay. My other comment is I drive down that or walk down that street every day on 13th, and I've watched the improvements. I must admit, the company that's currently doing it, I know there had been some thoughts about whether or not they'd be qualified to with their low bid. They are extremely messy. There was asphalt just dropped all over the place down 13th Street from those trucks. And I really think that you need to take that in consideration. They, like I said, there is still a lot of mess out there that they created. It's been run over by other vehicles now, but it almost like, you know, the work that was done on 13th has been kind of negated by this extremely messy work that these gentlemen did.
Okay. So let me just add a little context around the project that's before us tonight, because I think there were some questions that came from Councilman Bramona, or maybe there's some folks who don't understand the context in which we were. And it wasn't just me. It was previous council. I think there were actually some council members sitting that have considered this project. So, Greg was right. This started with the visioning project in 2004, in which residents and business owners were, in fact, and did come down to City Hall, and they had a discussion about how they wanted to see Grand Avenue reinvigorated. And so that was the start of trying to do these improvements. And I believe there is a report that's still available that for anyone who wants to take a look at that. So then the second part of that was, once the visioning project was done, how would we implement it? And that's where the West Grand Avenue Master Plan had come into being. And so I think we all recall going through that, and you're exactly right. We had that discussion about the road diet, and some people liked it. Some people strongly disliked it, and that's something that is not considered with this, because I think it required us to do further studies, and we really don't have money to do further studies. And when $300,000 came available through SLOCOG, and this is what they're really good about, is Rhonda Carley and his team said, hey, we have an additional $300,000 if you could use it in Grover Beach. And so I said yes, and fortunately the other members on the SLOCOG board agreed, and so we're trying to make use of that. Why start at one end of Grand Avenue then jump to this section? We did have a meeting with business owners, and we had talked about enhancements in traffic calming, trying to slow the traffic down, and there were several business owners, and I know he doesn't own the barbershop anymore, but Van Ansanth had come down, and there were several of them. And I believe the council really felt compelled, based on that input from business owners, and I know Linda McClure is here as well, to try and do something downtown, not just look at the visitor serving area, but to also try and help define downtown. And studies have shown that the existing median had slowed traffic down by about 10 miles per hour. And so the project is trying to expand that and continue that trend downtown. And so we are limited in how we can go about doing this. I know there's been a lot of talk about the storm drain. The storm drain has been discussed before I got on this council. And quite honestly, what's the price tag? 2
About
$3 million.
Yeah, about two.
So, you know, it's a tough nut to crack when we are trying to do these projects systematically, and we know there's a storm drain project that needs to be done, but who's got $2 million? And I think we've applied through the USDA and others unsuccessfully, and so I think this is a good effort to try and move forward and do some enhancements. And so there was also a discussion about access and as far as turning into driveways. And I think when you look at this, and we talked about this a little bit, at Miners, there are no driveways.
That's correct.
Where Backdoor Deli and those stores are, there's no access. The same thing on the north side of the street. So, yeah, I would support the staff's recommendation. I don't know how the others feel, and I wanted to say that because let's someone try and make a motion, and let's see if we got a consensus.
Well, I'd like to move that we go with staff's recommendation.
Well, I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any additional discussion?
Will we in the future discuss the speed limit then?
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. And why don't we do this? There's a motion, there's a second.
Sorry.
And I was going to call for the vote, but let me out of courtesy. Chief, can you address that issue? Because we did discuss that, too, in the workshop with the business owners.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have discussed that in the past. And although it would be nice to slow down and put the speed limit at 25, the speed of the vehicles really dictates what the speed limit should be posted at for enforcement or legal purposes. If we were to post that at 25 without a survey that justifies that speed, then there's absolutely no way we can enforce that speed.
Oh, well, it's kind of funny because if they're already allowed to do what is it, 30 or 35?
35.
Well, why are they going to go slower for you to do a study?
Well, that's what makes it difficult. It's we run into all kinds of difficulties when we attempt to set or post speed limits on the streets within, you know, this jurisdiction or any jurisdiction, and that's why, for example, 4th Street, it's set at 35 because that's the flow of the traffic and the way it goes, 85th percentile of the vehicles that travel that. Otherwise, per the courts and the vehicle code, the laws, then it's a speed trap and we can't enforce it. So it really is kind of, we have to do, in order to set the speed limit at 25, then we look at, from an engineering, and Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, but from an engineering point of view, we look at options, as it's been brought up, the road diets, in order to slow the traffic down. Once the traffic is slowed down, either through engineering or enforcement, then you can reset or set the appropriate speed in order for the police department to enforce that speed. Council can set the speed at whatever they want, but we can't, or we may not be able to enforce it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then what about stop signs instead of streetlights? They got to stop.
So we why don't we do this? There's a motion and there's a second. I believe this is a voice vote. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? None. Motion carries. Now, what I do want to just give staff some direction, because I think, Phyllis, that's good discussion. And so when staff comes back for not necessarily phase two, but phase 2B, which is to utilize that $583,000, we should have some conversations about, we can't necessarily do bulb outs, but we could look at other treatments like in an intersection, whether it's raised, whether it is a pattern. And so when we do these things, as the chief just said, if we've engineered it and we've reduced the speeds, then we can go back and survey it and lower the speed limit.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So, Greg, you got clear direction on that?
I do. Thank you very
much. Nice job. Okay, let's move on to item number 4, and this is a response to the grand jury report regarding a rate setting as a water conservation tool.
And
City Manager Copsey.
I will take that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. The city has received a report from the San Luis Obispo County Grand Jury titled Rate Setting as a Water Conservation Tool. You have a report in your package, and I think it's also been online. And it's focused on various aspects of the utility rate setting as a billing and billing procedures related to water consumption as a tool to be used in saving water. At the end of the report, a series of recommendations and findings are made by the grand jury, and the city of Grover Beach is required to respond to those recommendations and findings that are applicable to the city. And we are to respond to those by September 14th of 2011. Staff has developed the attached draft response letter for council's review. And at this point, staff is recommending that the city council review the letter and make any changes that they deem appropriate and authorize the mayor to sign the letter on behalf of the city. And I'll be happy to answer questions on that.
Very good. Any questions, staff?
I do.
Okay, Councilmember Monar.
In our response, we're saying that for finding number three concerning the showing tiers on the water bills, that it would be cost prohibitive, unless I wasn't looking in the right places. So I don't see anything here that talks about the cost.
As far as what the cost would be?
To produce a bill that has tiered findings on it that for the public. I mean, I'm originally
any requests from the public to put the tiered rate structure on the bills, but it would be a minimum of $5,000 to do the specialized programming.
Okay. I have no problem with finding number five, but number six, what would we have to do to revising it so that the sewer bill shows, you know, the water usage effect on the sewer bill? Because isn't the sewer bill computed based upon water consumption?
No.
No? How is it worked?
For single-family residents, it is not.
Okay.
There are a few cases, I believe, laundromats, and I would, car washes, there's very few that actually are based on the water use. Okay.
How do they determine, do you know, the cost of the sewer per family, per household?
That was all in the rate study that was done last year. I would have to pull the rate study out.
So you don't know what it's based on? It was just an amount?
There's a flat amount per family.
Per family, okay. All right, thank you.
Okay. I think it's based on the total cost, and that is figured into the percentages of use, but it's not based on actual water usage.
Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
With reference to the letter addressed to Honorable Judge Crandall, at the very end of the letter, it says, please let us know if the grand jury has any further questions regarding the above responses. I think my suggestion is that we change that. The grand jury has been disbanded. It no longer exists. They have already convened a new grand jury. So I don't think it's appropriate to make a comment that if the grand jury has any further questions. This letter is addressed to the judge. He is the one that we are to respond to, not to the grand jury. So I think something ought to be done, some change ought to be made. We could thank the grand jury for their efforts and recommendations, something to that effect, but I don't think we want to address the grand jury because they're no longer around.
That's a really good point. Okay. Anyone else have any questions or comments?
No.
Okay. This is a regular business item. Let me open this to the public. Does anyone from the public like to address this item before the council? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close and bring it back. Is anyone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I will. Let me just get there. I move that the council approve the responses to the grand jury report and authorize the mayor to execute the letter on behalf of the city with a minor change to that last sentence. If there's further questions, you know, please advise or something to that effect. But striking the grand jury reference.
Okay. Martin, did you have something?
Chief?
Chief?
Well, I was going to make a suggestion, just take out the grand jury and just put in if you have any further questions.
Mm-hmm.
Just take out the grand jury has and just add you have.
Or something to the effect that if there are any further questions regarding the above expenses, please let us know or please contact us.
Okay. So I think we got the intent on that, and so okay.
I'll second that.
There's a motion. There's a second by Councilmember Peterson, and I believe I can do this with a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? None. Motion carries. So let's move on to item number 5, and this is the second reading and adoption of an ordinance confirming the intent to permit the continued existence of the Grover Beach, I think this is Redevelopment Agency, correct?
That is correct. Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members. This item is before you as a follow-up to the action taken by the City Council at the last Council meeting, where you introduced by title and conducted a first reading of the ordinance, which would, in effect, allow the agency to continue under AB1X27. In between the two meetings, the Supreme Court acted and stayed for the period of litigation the effect of AB1X27 and majority of AB1X26. Irrespective of that, it is staff's recommendation that the process be completed and that you conduct a second reading by title and adopt the ordinance, which, in the event that AB1X27 was found to be constitutional and became again the law in California, would provide you with the ability to continue the redevelopment activities. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you, City Attorney. Any questions?
I have one.
Okay. Councilmember Mona.
Based upon...
And now there is some discussion of that may not be possible any longer.
That is correct. And I think that ultimately the briefing schedule and the potential hearing schedule before the Supreme Court would lead at least the justices to wish to have this matter resolved before January 15th of 2012.
Okay.
So we're certainly within the same budget year. And I think once we have clarity on their decision, the necessary actions or amendments would be considered.
Very good. Thank you both. Any other questions? Okay. Again, this is a business item. Is there anyone that would like to address this item before the council tonight? Seeing none, I'm going to close and bring it back. And
can I just have another comment?
Sure.
So we're going to adopt this ordinance. Now, let's say, for example, that the Supreme Court decides that it was unconstitutional and to disband, you know, the redevelopment. Then what happens to this? Does it just become...
The ordinance is moot. It basically is an illegal non-entity. It does not affect anything because its adoption was not required because the law would have been changed. We can do nothing, or if the council wishes to adopt an ordinance that rescinds this ordinance, staff can bring that to you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'll make a motion if we're ready.
I'm ready if you are.
I move that the City Council conduct the second reading by title only and adopt the ordinance.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes, thank you, Donna. Let's see, we have no pooled consent agenda items tonight. And let's see, Council Committee reports. Councilmember Wright. Do you have anything you want to report this evening?
No, I do not. Thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Monar.
No, Housing Trust has not met, and they took a break, and then the IWMA will be meeting in September about the paper and plastic bag ordinance, and I was hoping that we'd be able to have a presentation tonight by Mr. Worrell, and obviously that was not possible.
And an update on that, I did speak with Mr. Morrell, and he apparently will not be in September, but he said he would like to come in October, the first meeting in October.
Okay, then my only concern is the rest of the council comfortable with the ordinance that is going to go through? Because I know there has been concern in the city of Tascadero and also Morro Bay. So every one of you I believe, had been given a copy of it because I had gone on vacation, and I had asked for any comments to be given to Mayor Pro Tem, so I'm just wondering if everyone is still fine with it.
Okay.
Because I will be going in September for the first reading, and everyone's going to put in a vote based upon how its cities feel.
Honorable Mayor, okay. Council members, I think that if direction is to be given to the representative, I think it should be an agendized item during a council meeting.
Okay.
When is your meeting
in September?
It's the second Wednesday. We are canceled our first Monday.
Okay. So when I talked with Mr. Morrell, he had said that is the county going to be the one that's taking official action on the ordinance, and then they're
asking.
That's
correct. And as each of us representatives is going to come forward, because it will affect the entire county, and so it'll affect our Vons, it'll affect the 7-Eleven, So that's why I was going to vote yes for it for us as long as everyone was okay with that. There is going to be a second reading in November, and at that time, if there's any problems, it can be addressed.
Okay. Well, we really can't discuss since it's not an agenda item, unfortunately. And were we considering a special meeting? Go ahead, City Attorney.
Thank you. Mayor, in view of the information that's just received, you can, by a supermajority vote, agendize this item for tonight if you want to have a discussion on this. It is information that became available after the agenda has been prepared. It is an item that requires urgency because the next council meeting is not scheduled prior to that. So if you wish to do that, it would take a motion and a vote of the four of you to put that on the agenda tonight as a urgency item and take action on it.
Okay.
All right. Can I move to put this item on the agenda tonight?
Okay. There's a motion.
As a result of the emergency.
And 12. And there will be an education period. And there will be bags handed out free to consumers to help them remember. And there also has been made available through a producer in California a reusable plastic bag that will cost about 20 cents that will be also made available in the markets and stores, hopefully, if someone has forgotten their bag.
So, Phyllis, are the grocers in support of this?
That's very interesting you asked that. I went to a meeting where you had the regional heads of Albertsons, Food for Less, Spencer's was there, Cookie Crock, and they were pretty much all for it. Their biggest concern was that the shopper is going to blame them for this, that it was their doing and not necessarily a county ordinance that has come out. But they're all for it. It will save them money, and that will be passed on to the shoppers.
Okay. City Attorney, did you have something?
Thank you. Yes. Mayor, council members, I would recommend that once we get past the content of the report that Councilmember Molnar is giving, we may consider acting on the motion and the second that's on the floor if the council wishes to discuss it and ultimately provide direction to the representative.
Okay.
So hold on. You're right. You're right. I was trying to think of... So there's a motion and a second to place this on as an urgency item, and so I think we need a supermajority vote. So all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
No.
No.
Okay.
Then motion fails, 3-2.
Okay. Would you...
I would make an alternative
maybe make
motion.
Want to make an alternative motion?
I would move that we agendize it for the next possible council meeting so that the public have an opportunity to come and comment on it as suggested by Council Member Bright.
Okay. So my question will be then, since I'm going to the meeting in September, shall I go ahead and give a positive vote for now, and then between the reading in September and the reading in November, if there is some negativity involved in it and that the council wants to withdraw its positive vote, it can.
I would say you should go on the the information that you have so far, which has been no negative information from any of us, or I don't know about the public, but I think you should go forward with your conclusions. And I don't know if I've overstepped my bounds here.
Well, Debbie, what was your alternative? Oh, that was your motion, was to take it
up. To discuss it later to give the public an opportunity to comment. I'm happy to withdraw that, too. I personally don't have any concerns about it. If I had them, I'd have made them. So I'm really not concerned about it one way or another. I'm in support of it, and so I don't. And I haven't had any. I haven't heard public outcry. I haven't had feedback. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm happy to support Councilmember Molnar in making a wise choice. So, but if there's a feeling that it needs to be agendized for a later date, then we can certainly have that option open to us, and then make comment at that time.
Okay.
Should it be a big deal?
Why don't we do this? Let's take a 5-minute break. But hold on. You have a motion. Let me see if there's
I'll
a second. I'm
my
sorry.
Motion
I'm sorry.
A second.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion?
Yes.
I think that's just going to trigger everything up, isn't it? Okay. All right then. We have a motion and a second. Okay.
Okay. So the motion is to schedule us on our next available city council meeting, which is September the 19th. So there's a motion and there's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I guess I have to be an aye. I've made the motion.
So I think.
Is that a supermajority?
I didn't hear you. Okay, so that's fine. It's a 5-0. We don't need a supermajority. Okay. Let's still take a 5-minute break. We can reconvene the regular city council meeting for Monday, August 15, 2011, and we were on our council committee report. So let me jump down to Councilmember Peterson. Did you have anything you want to report tonight?
I do not. My committee meetings are all later this month.
Okay. And we also have approved the separate contracts for the administrator and for engineering at the plant. Which is one of the recommendations that, in fact, we started it prior to the grand jury, but it was also one of the recommendations that the grand jury made. And our final report to the grand jury will be completed and approved at our next meeting and forwarded on to the judge.
Very good. That concludes our committee reports. Let's. There are no city council member items. Council communications. Anyone have any communications? Okay. Councilmember Motar.
Actually, I gave it to the chief to give to the city manager. I do have some information about possible solar for the city, for the city hall. And this is a company that what they do is they, at their expense, they provide the panels and the installation at no cost. And then basically you will still be on the intertie, but your billing will go through them, and they've get you at least a 20% reduction. And then at the end of, I believe, either 4 or 5 years, you have the option to purchase the panels instead of it still belonging to this particular company. So I thought that would be of interest to look at for the future. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So you've given that to the city manager, and is he going to bring it back to see if there's a council majority wants to place it on an agenda?
Yeah, because I figured okay. He should talk to the gentleman to ask about costs and recommendations from other people who have done this. This company has dealt with other cities, so I figured that would be the city manager's job to check into it first.
Okay.
But I wanted you to be aware of it. Okay. Does anybody else have anything? No? Okay.
No, you have something else?
Yes.
You have the floor.
Thank you. Since no one else seems to be bringing it up, time after time the surf riders have come in and they've talked about the different issues, and I'm wondering if there is a problem with the public now in terms of confidence in our council and our representation on the board at the sanitation district. And I am still very new in my particular committees, but I wonder if what can happen is that a council member can become, let's say, too comfortable in a position, and that maybe we should consider rotating after a few years someone's position on a committee. And I was just wondering if anyone else had thoughts towards that.
Can we discuss that at this point?
Well, we shouldn't discuss it, but I think we should discuss if we want to place it on an agenda and have that discussion.
If that's possible,
I think. We're okay
yes.
with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would be open to doing that.
I think we have consensus to do that. Okay?
Thank you.
Anything else?
Is
that it?
I'm through. Sorry.
Okay. City manager reports and comments.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No report, but as you're well aware, last month we had the Planning Commission reviewed the plans and looked at over the EIR for the Pacifica Hotel that's coming down at the end of Grand Avenue. And we need to consider scheduling a special meeting regarding the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center project for City Council. Bob has been in contact with Pacifica, and they have confirmed their availability with three dates, those being Tuesday the 27th, Wednesday the 28th, and Thursday the 29th of September.
Of September.
Okay. So a month away, but obviously that it's up to the council when they want to try and schedule those dates. But those are the ones that they confirmed they have available.
Would you repeat those dates, please?
The dates are the 27th, 28th, and 29th of September, so Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
I could do any of those.
Same here.
27th. I'm not available on the 27th, but the 28th or 29th would work for me.
Shall we shoot for the 28th? Is that a Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
That was the preferred date for Pacifica.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay.
And what time?
That is a Wednesday, and do we want to just do it at our regular time, 6:30?
That'd be good.
Mm-hmm. This is September, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Pacifica. Okay. I think we have consensus.